ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 3 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And this morning, we're going to finish up Judges chapter 3 by looking at one verse, verse 31, and as we'll see, the focus here is on the third judge in Israel, Shamgar. And again, we don't have a lot of information. It's just one verse about this man. But what he does and what he does with it, I think, is an important lesson for us to learn from and to understand. Because I think the Lord is speaking to us about how we serve him. You see, I've called this study, What's in Your Hand? And I'm going to focus on really three main points. And they're as follows. Preparation for service, what's in your hand, and God encourages us in the work. And I want to share this story with you before we get to our study. And out of this, I'm going to pick one main point because I think it really speaks about what we're going to be talking about this morning. This is what we're told. Tuesday night, I couldn't go to sleep. I clicked on the hotel TV and found my beloved Atlanta Braves playing the Colorado Rockies. It was the ninth inning, and the score was tied at 6-6. The game continued. As the innings progressed, the Rockies used all of their relief pitchers. Major league teams have 25-person rosters, 10 of which are usually pitchers. Of those, 4 or 5 are starters, and the rest are relievers. Without any relief pitchers left on the bench, the starting pitcher from the night before was sent out to pitch an inning. He pitched numerous innings in the night before, but went out and again held the Braves. In the 12th inning, the Rockies had a terrible choice. Should they send out one of their 2 remaining starting pitchers who would have to play over the next 2 days or a utility player? They chose to send an injured catcher, Brent Main, to the mound. The manager asked him, "Can you pitch?" "Sure," said Brent, even though he had never pitched at any level in his life. A few pitches went over the catcher's head. One flew behind the batter's back, but Main managed to get the Braves to ground into 2 grounders and a fly ball to get the Rockies out of the inning. In the bottom of the inning, Main's position came up to hit. With an injured batting hand, he couldn't. So the Rockies sent out a new player who had never had a hit in the major leagues. Of course, he drove a run in to win the game. Why tell this story? Because sometimes Christian workers have to fulfill uncomfortable positions. Sometimes you have to do it even when you're hurt. You have to go out there and take one for the team. And again, that's really true. There are times we have to do things that we're uncomfortable in doing, but as part of the body of Christ, we do those things to keep the body healthy and moving forward, the body of Christ, that is. But the thing I want to take out of the story is this. The catcher had the ball in his hand many, many times. And yeah, maybe he never pitched before, but the manager needed him and called him to pitch, and he did. And he got the opposing team out. The question is, what's in your hand? A ball. We'll go out there and pitch. The other player who had hit many baseballs in his life but never in a major league game was called by the manager to step up to the plate and bat. And he did. And he got the game-winning hit. Again, what's in your hand? A bat. Go out there and get us a hit. And as you will see, we're all gifted. God has equipped us for the work that he wants us to do, but then we have to go out and do the work. And we'll see that with Shamgar this morning. So with that as our background, let's pick up in Judges chapter 3, looking at verse 31 at the topic of what's in your hand, where we're told this. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. So Shamgar is the third judge sent to deliver the children of Israel from their bondage, but there's not a whole lot spoken about him. We don't have a lot of information. And, you know, the time period, we're not precisely sure. It could have taken place during those 98 years of the previous judge, Ehud, who judged Israel for 80 years and Prior to that, they were 18 years in oppression and bondage. So it could have been some overlap of these two judges because, again, they didn't rule the entire nation of Israel. They just had local areas that they were over. In Judges 4:1, we go back to Ehud and his death. They didn't, again, or that tells me that Shamgar probably overlapped with Ehud, probably, I think, close to his death. I think that's when the time frame here. I wouldn't be dogmatic about it, but I tend to think that's what's going on here. And there's really no mention about Israel doing evil or anything like that. We know they were obviously in bondage because it says that Shamgar delivered Israel. From what? Well, the bondage they were in. So that means they had to go and do evil. God brought bondage into their lives. And now God rose up Shamgar because I'm sure they repented and he's going to deliver them. Think about this. Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's not like an assault rifle or anything like that. It wasn't even a sword. It was an ox goad. He killed 600 Philistines. We don't know if that was in one battle or during his lifetime. But whatever the case, he accomplished this mighty task with an ox goad. And all that is a sharp metal-tipped stick, maybe 8 to 10 feet long, and it was used to direct the animals to get them moving. The other end was usually a chisel-like blade for cleaning the plow. Why did he use an ox goad? Well, first of all, the enemies always took away the fighting implements from the ones they're oppressing. So they probably didn't have a lot of military weapons at that time. But also, that's probably the life of Shamgar. He was probably moving the animals around. He had to get them moving. He used his ox goad, cleaning things and stuff with the other end of it. And you think, but still, the Philistines probably had battle implements, right? How did he defeat them? Well, here's the key. Anyone who has surrendered to the Lord can use what is available in their hands to defeat the enemy of God because God is the one bringing about the victory and not us. I look at Shamgar and it reminds me a lot like Moses. What did Moses use? He used a shepherd's staff. What did David use? A sling, right, to kill the giant. Simple things to accomplish great tasks. And I think it's a great lesson for us to learn that instead of complaining about what we don't have, that we use what is available to us for destroying the enemy and building up the kingdom of God. For me, I love worship. I love music. And I have no talent in this area. Absolutely none at all. You know me. I can't clap and sing at the same time. That's why I don't do it. No matter what, I'm always clapping on the off beat. It's a talent, I know. And I have it. But that's me. For I would love to play the drums. No one else would love it, but I would love to be able. Or I would love to be able to play the guitar, but I have no rhythm. I can make a guitar squealing for its life, but that's about it. And singing, you know, people go, well, what key do you sing in? Every one at the same time. Hey, you try doing that at the same time. It's not easy, but I can do it. The point being is I am not gifted in this area. And for me to try and do worship in front of people would be like David trying to use the armor of King Saul to do battle against Goliath the giant. It didn't work. It doesn't work. He could hardly walk in it, right? What did he grab? He grabs his sling and five stones. He only needed one. And he took the giant down. What's in my hand? For me, it's a Bible. And God has gifted me in teaching the word of God to people. He has gifted me in shepherding the people of God that he's entrusted to me. What's in your hand? What has God given you to use? You know, and don't become frustrated or discouraged by what you have in your hand. Be like Shamgar and use it for the glory of God. And yes, for Shamgar it was an ox goad. Nothing fancy, and yet look how God used this man and what was in his hand. 600 Philistines he kills. He delivers Israel. Pretty amazing. And I think, again, this is important for us to understand. We're going to look at three main points, as I said. The first one is preparation for service. Does a newborn baby become a surgeon overnight? Hope not, right? Yeah, it takes them 25, 30 years before they can perform surgery before they're surgeons. It takes time to be prepared for service. And yet, how many Christians think they're ready the minute they get saved? Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness until he was ready to lead God's people from their bondage in Egypt. And I'll just give you an example from today of someone getting saved and getting immediately put into the spotlight. You know, the American rapper, singer, songwriter, record producer, and so on, Kanye West. It seems like he gave his life to Christ. I don't know the man's heart. I haven't spoken to him. I can only tell you what I read. The problem is that he's a babe in Christ. He's young in the Lord, and he needs to step out of the spotlight and learn the things of God, be trained in the things of God. And I'm not saying, 14 or 40 years, but he does need to get grounded. I look at Paul the Apostle. Here was a guy who knew the Old Testament scriptures backwards and forwards. He was a brilliant man. And yet we see him in the deserts of Arabia being trained up by God. He wasn't immediately thrown into the spotlight. And yes, in this man's hands, Kanye is his music, his association with many people, but there's a time of preparation, which I don't think he's taken the time to do. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, I think verses many of us know very well, Paul wrote, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Preparation for service. All scripture comes from God, and it's profitable to our lives, Paul's telling us. It shows us everything we need. It tells us what's right or healthy doctrine. It shows us when we're wrong. It shows us how to get right when we've gone astray. And it shows us how to stay on the right path, the path that God desires us to be on. And the result of being men and women of the Word of God, of studying the Word of God, is that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, it's hard to serve the Lord when you don't know much about Him. And I'm not saying you have to go to Bible school or be a theologian or anything like that, but you have to know what you believe. And I've seen over and over that a lot of these people that get put in the spotlight early on end up walking away. You know, Bob Dylan, I'll give you an example. I mean, Bob Dylan, he said he tried Jesus, but he wrote some amazing, amazing Christian songs. They were out of this world. But he never was grounded in the Word. And he ended up walking away, and I don't think he was ever saved in the first place. You need to know what you believe. Now, some of you may be thinking, hey, my job, I don't need any of that stuff. I mean, for instance, I work for the post office. How is that going to help me in my work? And you could put any job in there. I'm not just talking about the post office, but you get the idea. Here's the thing. By knowing the Word of God, it is so important, because it will help you as you serve, as you work at the post office or whatever job you have. What is the attitude of your heart? Are you joyful? Are you shining the light of Christ as you work? Are you going to be able to answer those questions that people may have about what's going on in this world or the philosophies of this world? I mean, people are so confused what's right and what's wrong today, right? I mean, people don't even know what bathrooms to use anymore. So we can tell them. It's easy, right? Being complete is knowing God's Word. It'll take you a lifetime. You're never going to know everything about God because He's all-knowing. How could you know everything? But He will show you those things you need to know. And I can tell you, being a Christian for some 35 years and probably reading the Bible over 50, 60 times now, I read it and God is still opening it up, showing me things that blow me away. I'm going, wow, I've read this so many times. And now, I see this. It's pretty amazing what God can do. In Peter, 1 Peter 3:15, Peter wrote this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense for everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Peter is saying, be ready to defend your faith. You have to know what you believe if you're going to defend it, right? In fact, the word defense in the Greek is apologia, and it's where we get our English word apologetics from. And it speaks of a formal defense in a judicial court. Can you defend your faith before the court of this world, what you believe? If we're living what we say we believe, then we need to be able to share that with others, give them the reason for the hope that's in us. We set our lives apart from the Lord. Peter said, sanctifying ourselves, consecrating ourselves to the Lord, men and women of the word. And people go, well, why is it such a big deal? It is. If you can't share your faith, then you're a poor witness of Jesus. And then what are you going to give people? And if you don't know what you believe, when difficult times come your way, your faith is going to be shaken, and you may even doubt your salvation. So you need to know what you believe and be ready to share it. Think about a golfer, a professional golfer. Now, I am not a golfer at all. I mean, Joe Sams can attest to this when we had our golf outing several years ago. I am telling you, I can hit a divot so far, it's unbelievable. But the ball is still there on the ground. It was sad. The only thing I can do with golfing is putt-putt. You know, do the putts. And you know why? Because I did a lot of that as a kid, and the little windmills and, you know, up the little things. And so I could putt really well, but driving the ball, it was like me swinging a baseball bat. And guys were standing around me because I think it was a warm day, and they were trying to cool off when I was swinging. That's how bad it was. Horrible. But I didn't know this, but I found out that professional golfers hit around 500 to 1,000 balls a day when they practice. See, they don't go out there and just swing at the ball and it's a great shot. They put the time into it. That's what you need to do. For us as Christians, as we read the Word, as the Bible, how many times a week do we do it? A little here, a little there, and then we can't defend our faith? You have to put time into studying the Word, reading the Word, hearing the Word of God being taught, and you'll be able to defend your faith. It does take practice. It does take preparation if you want to complete the task. And I do see that God is doing that in our lives. He's working to prepare us for the work. In Philippians 2:13, Paul wrote, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Or as the Amplified Bible puts it, "Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." You see, God is not only working in us to equip us for the work, but he puts those desires in our hearts, and as we obey, it pleases him. I mean, I'm sure as you look at your life, the things you've gone through, you see how God has been preparing you for the work that he wants you to do. And yeah, it can be a slow process, but don't negate the small things or the things you see as insignificant, because God is using them to prepare you. I told you about Moses, 40 years in the wilderness before God used him to deliver the children of Israel from their bondage in Egypt. And for Moses, think about this. He was a shepherd, right? Day in and day out, traveling with the sheep, watching over them, caring for them. Not easy, but it wasn't a waste of time. God was preparing Moses to know the land where the children of Israel would be traveling. He was preparing Moses to shepherd the children of Israel, who were like sheep. I mean, they were stiff-necked, rebellious people needing lots of care and attention, just like sheep. I mean, you know, sheep would eat, and if they fall over, they couldn't right themselves. And so what would happen is their bellies would start to swell. And there they'd be, stuck and die. And the shepherd would have to come and pick them up and set them back on their feet. That was Moses. God was preparing Moses to shepherd the people of God those 40 years he was in the wilderness. And he was really breaking Moses of his self-will, breaking him of self, so that he could trust in the Lord and take care of the people of God. I like what Paul said about God and what he does in our lives in Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, God will make us complete for the work he's called us to do. And that gives me great comfort. He's preparing me for the work. Paul talked again about this in Ephesians 2:10. Because he prepares the work for us as well, not just us for the work. He said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." if God has planned the work for us and he's also prepared us for the work, what's our responsibility in the situation? What are we to do? Walk by faith. We need to take those steps of faith then. For Shamgar, I'm sure he used that ox goad many, many, many times. So he was prepared for the work that was before him, the destruction of the Philistines. Preparation for service is important. And I'm not saying it's going to take 40 years or 30 years, 5 years. I don't know how long it's going to take. Maybe it's a few months. Maybe it's a year. Be in the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, it never ends. For me, when I am praying about what I'm going to be teaching on, I'll spend 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours working on a study. You think, well, you know, after 24 years, you think you could do it a little faster. I don't want to do it faster. I want to do it right. I want to hear from God. And so prepare, take the time. The next point, and I think this is important, is what's in your hand. Again, this is easy. What did Shamgar have in his hand? An ox goad, right? That's it. That's what he had. And he killed 600 men of the Philistines. Moses had a shepherd's crook. There is nothing special about that rod that Moses had. Piece of wood that could be broken, it could be cut, it could be burned, whatever. It had no power in it. It was just a piece of wood. It couldn't do anything worthwhile on its own. And yet God was going to use this rod in the hands of Moses to do great things. And I think that's the point. I think that's what the Lord is showing us here in Judges 3:31. This ox goad was nothing special, but God was going to use it in a very powerful way. You know, God asked Moses, what's in your hand? Moses says, it was a rod. God says, great, that's what I'm going to use. See, God uses what's in our hand, the gifts, the talents that he's given to us to be used for his glory. Now, again, we may not see them as talents or gifts. We may be afraid that what we have to offer is nothing. I mean, who am I? I have nothing. Again, let's think about this. Was that rod in the hand of Moses anything more than a piece of wood? No. Was the ox goad anything more than something to clean a wheel of a wagon or to goad an animal? No. The only difference is God was going to use the rod in the hand of Moses or the ox goad in the hand of Shamgar to do great things. Think about this. God said to Paul, what's in your hand? And Paul said, a pen. I'm a scholar. And God said, great, that's what I'll use. And God used Paul to write 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament. It was a pen. Look at the Apostle Peter. You know, God said to Peter, what's that in your hand? And Peter said, that's my Pope hat. No, he didn't say that. Sorry. What did he say? What did Peter say? It's a fishing net. I'm a fisherman. And what did God say? Or what did the Lord say? That's great. That's what I'll use. And God made Peter a fisher of men. Isn't that interesting? The tools of the trade. The examples that I've shared a little bit with you. I'll start out with, again, Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. I mean, that's even worse. It's a jawbone of a donkey. He killed 1,000 Philistines. David killed the Philistine giant Goliath with a sling and a stone. God took 5 small barley crackers and 2 pickled fish from the hand of a young boy and fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Can God use what's in your hand? Absolutely. If you let him. And I think many times we look at our lives and wonder, how can God use what I have in my hand? You know, he asks us, what's in your hand? And they say, well, it's just a computer. And the Lord says, hey, that is great. That's what I'm going to use. What do I mean by that? How could God use a computer for his glory? Never negate what God can do. I look at those in the church who have computer skills and how God's using them. The radio station, guess what? It's run by computers that have to be programmed. We have people who are programming the computers to run the station. We have people who are editing the studies to put them on the air. We have people who put together the web page. You see how this is playing out here? We can go on and on. Don't negate what's in your hand as being meaningless, because if God can use an ox goad for his glory, he can use anything, right? I mean, that's the amazing thing to me. There was this elderly widow years ago She was very restricted in her activities, and she was eager to serve Christ. And, you know, how are you going to serve Christ? She was really restricted, couldn't do much. So she prayed about it, and she realized that she could bring blessings to others by playing the piano. The next day, she placed this small ad in the Oakland Tribune. Pianists will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent. The service is free. And the notice included the number to dial. And when people called, she would ask, what hymn would you like to hear? And within a few months, her playing had brought cheer to several hundred people. Many of them freely poured out their hearts to her, and she was able to help and encourage them.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word. Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.